once again be greeted with that apostolic greeting of grace and mercy and peace, and may it continue to abide in the hearts of all gathered here. Last night when the brother was speaking and he in his message kind of paused to exhort the young, it really struck me here of how many young families are here in this congregation, and I was led to maybe go to another text that's outside of the Lenten season, having lived through what many of you are just beginning in your life. I would like to read these words of encouragement this evening. So we'll turn to Luke, the 12th chapter, and read from the 16th verse. And we'll read in Jesus' name. "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought therefore for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. For life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than fowls? And which of you, with taking this thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which is the least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, and give alms, and provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen." This text has been kind of a hard text for me through my life as the provider of a family. And often I've looked at it as a rebuke to me, maybe even as Jesus said here, O ye of little faith. But I've come to see that he's not rebuking me. He just knows who I am. And I've also come to see in this text how God is so faithful, how he does provide. I know the burdens that can accompany a young man when he's setting out to build up his family. And at the same time as he's doing this, he's getting demands from the church and maybe from the community, and it can be overwhelming. A lot of these things, they come as, I would say to the young men that to be careful that you don't spread yourself so thin. And remember, God has given you a family, and that family is so vitally important. We can feel honored sometimes to have so many responsibilities bestowed on us. But God says in His Word that we would have our own household to be first in order. And then, even as this word says, He will add things as time goes. But that this time of life for the young family, there's much responsibility being piled on. We see in this first part of the text here, this man here, this rich man, went in the way of the world system. And even today, we hear it from all sides, this sort of message. And even in like Christian radio, and counselors will say that all this stress on us preparing for the future. We'll read these first few verses then. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? We had a friend of mine back home worked in the post office. And he told me a story of a fellow worker and his wife that sought to do these things. And it's a temptation that all healthy young men have, to really gonna sacrifice all these years so that I can have something good at the end. Well, this guy did, and you know, in the that kind of a job in the post office, if you didn't use up your sick days at that time, they would all accumulate. And so these people just worked. And worked and worked and worked and worked. And this came to pass. They were right at retirement, and they were telling all their coworkers how they have this cruise planned for around the world. They're going to cruise the world and eat, drink, and be merry and take their ease. But before that date came, the man died. And he left his wife alone. Their plan was a failure. This is the thing in this life. There can be a temptation to sacrifice months, years, thinking, I'm going to make it better for my family. But the family needs the structure that God set in His Word. The father to be there. And even, I know in our circles, the work ethic is borderline workaholic. There's very strong work ethic here, which I believe is a godly thing. But when it crosses over into that, to workaholic, and I speak to the young men, because I was in that place, although I may never have completely fallen into it, I know the draw to try and relieve that financial burden that we feel and put in the hours and hours and hours, but it's not what God would have us to do. And Jesus here is encouraging us in this, that we would remember the gifts that God has given us. This gift of a bride, a creature of God, specially given to us to help us in our life. A lot of times these responsibilities can pull us away from this, and it's not a blessing. The money that comes is like this. It's a foolish thing. God cares very much for the family structure. I think I read once Luther said that he feels that if government would make its main concern the preservation of the family, the problems of society would be so greatly reduced. But in this text we have then Jesus encouraging us to lay hold of these promises here. This first part ends then, so then is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. The country that we live in, and in the work world, you're often told, look out for number one, because nobody else is going to be looking out for you. I've met people who would take that a step further and say, you can't really be a Christian at work. You kind of be a Christian, but not really. These are not scriptural things. The richness, the treasure, is taught in the world system, and not just in America, throughout all the world, it's taught that we would lay it up to ourselves. It's also something that's very close to every one of us. This body has such a self-preservation instinct. I've found in my life, I could say like Apostle Paul, there has been times of plenty and times of little. But God has granted a certain measure of contentment. I think it comes with the peace of a good conscience and the trust in God that he will take care. And these 26 years and 12 children later, I don't think we have seen a single day of hunger. And coming from Worcester, where Bob Mackey is there, the instrumental guy in the foreign mission, we hear stories. Hunger is a real thing. And especially in those places where God is cast out and hunger, we have not experienced it. God has been so faithful all these years, and not only hunger, but even being able to live a really good life. Blessing on blessing. And he said to his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. I think in another part in the scriptures, Jesus tells us to not worry about those who could take our life, but rather worry about him who could cast our souls into hellfire. And I know this, here Jesus is encouraging us that we wouldn't worry about these natural things, but he goes on to remind us our life is more than meat. Our life is more than this natural life. this natural life, the assurance that we have in the Bible is that it will end. And I think the only assurance we have, if we wanted to try and take this rich man's stand of thinking of tomorrow, we know the only assurance we have of life is the next breath. While we're breathing, we have life. We don't know tomorrow. And many of you know, and I think I may have said this when I was in New York Mills 2 years ago, we've experienced it, this loss of life and how sudden it can come. Life is more than meat, in the body more than raiment. At them times, I remember thinking one time how foolish it was that we're eating. You know, my dad had just died. Them times, though, they do give some kind of a focus of the important things. They bring us to that point, I guess, kind of like where the rubber meets the road. The soul is so, so important, to far above the bodily comforts. And as blessed a life as I've had, I think one of my favorite verses in the hymns that we sing, I shouldn't even say, there's so many, as the brother pointed out yesterday, they are surely inspired works of God. But that song, I Look Not Back, and in there it says, how vain the hope of comfort and ease. This life, we get little pieces of it, I think. Some people who are born into wealth may get the ease, although I don't really think wealth will bring comfort, because I think you need contentment to have comfort. And I see for myself, so often, wealth does not bring contentment. And if we look through the scriptures, we find far more warning, seeking out to make yourself rich. There's relatively few cases in the Bible where God blessed somebody with gold. Very few. Most talks of money are not about saving up for a retirement account. Most of them are warning us, because God knows our nature, to try and resist that urge to stock up for all these years, to make it better for ourselves. And I think it is this, because our life, we know it's a temporary thing. The thing that matters is, like later on in the verse, in the text, the kingdom of God. Just consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Jesus, here I almost chuckle at the way he says this. Not chuckle, but I think it really shows, I guess a better way to say it, he really shows his divinity, as we heard in the previous sermon, so much of how he came from the heavenly place. For him, it would be the least of things to take thought and add 18 inches to your height. That would be nothing. And I think he's telling us here that it's the same with your living. Yes, you will go and work. You will work hard. The Bible, I think God would have us to work. Certainly the message in this, with Jesus telling us not to worry about it, is not giving us an excuse for laziness. We know even in Genesis, in paradise, in the garden, Adam tended the garden. I think God would. Well, we know also in Thessalonians, Paul rebuked those that took that stand. But in a sense, Jesus saying, it's easier for you to add 18 inches to your height than to provide for yourself. It's God's hand that provides for your family. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. Again, these words, for so many years of my life, were more of a rebuke to me, but I see him now. He's encouraging me. Don't be of a doubtful mind. And I have lived, and I can testify to you, you have every reason not to be of a doubtful mind. God's faithfulness is real. He really does. Just as that poem, The Footprints in the Sand, he really does carry us through. There has been times in my life where it's been, financially, it may be pretty scary. Probably my financial situation, even today, many would say is pretty scary. But I have learned to trust the hand of the Father, and to not seek these things. For all the nations, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. He knows, as the example's given, he takes care of the little creatures in this life, and he knows of our needs. And I look around and I do see, as far as the natural things of food and drink and raiment, I can see that you all can agree with me. God does surely clothe and feed us. He says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek the kingdom of God. Yesterday, in the brother's text, the psalmist was lamenting how prosperous the wicked seem. I was really encouraged by that text and reminded of our life here. We can look around and feel that same discontentment. But then we go back, as David did, to the tabernacle. We come back to the simple things of Christianity. And in fact, it did take me off on a little bit different thought. I thought it reminded me of a time years ago when I was studying into the doctrine of predestination and reading The Bondage of the Will and trying to understand it. And I have a friend back east who's of a similar nature of as mine. He loves to discuss, debate, and ponder the deep things. But we had a really nice talk, and then at the end of it, he said, "You got to just remember that God didn't make you a fish. It's okay to go out into the deep water, but you got to get back and put your feet on the ground." And in essence, he was telling me, don't forget, when we go into these deep waters, to come back, like the psalmist said, to the tabernacle of God, or maybe in today's terms, that we have to always come back to that simple, Jesus loves me, this I know. It is so important. As much as it is critical in these last days, and there's no question that we're in the last days, and we have so many winds of doctrine blowing around, but it's so important, even as we try to discern the different doctrines that come through, and they do, they come from all sides, to never forget that first love, them powerful words of Jesus loves me. We have this, the kingdom of God. The outward things will be added to us. Yes, we will have to work for them, but we will be taken care of in that way. The spiritual things, always Jesus points us to the spiritual things. He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Another verse of such great encouragement to us. And especially even in these Lenten times when we often can do the self-reflection, to think of this. It may be possible for me to say, okay, God pities me, has mercy on me, and will accept me as his child. But this is what God says. It's his good pleasure. He doesn't come at me and say, well, okay. He embraces, and it's his good pleasure to take one into the kingdom. Even as the pastor prayed this morning, that when we go out and we see those in the world who are seeking, and we tell them of this love, we can tell them it is God's good pleasure. It's not, you don't have to become, Martin Luther and become a great saint. It's God's good pleasure that you would come now. All these people that we encounter are God's creation, God's children just as much, though they may never come to him. His love for them is the same as it is for me. And that is what Jesus is saying here. Sell that you have. Give alms. Provide bags which wax not old. A treasure in heaven, in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. This is the retirement that we seek to build as Christians. Not that we can build up this, as he says, bags or bank accounts which wax not old. Not that we can build them up with good works, but living as a Christian every day with a heart turned to Jesus, it happens. It's actually something we don't work for. Any amount of work that we put into it would be a withdrawal rather than a deposit. We come into the Father's good pleasure, into the kingdom, and we just turn our eyes to him. And that's our walk. As we go through this life, I think most of us will encounter thieves, moths, rust corrupting. The treasures of this earth, that's the nature of them. And that last downturn of the economy, I remember watching on the news people lamenting they did everything the financial experts told them to do, and they were penniless. All their hopes were gone. We don't have that when our treasures are laid up in heaven. The pennies don't matter. Our life even doesn't matter. He says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. All through Jesus' time teaching, it was the heart and the heart and the heart. Out of the mouth comes the abundance of the heart. We cannot make ourselves into Christians as the Pharisees tried. We can only surrender ourselves to God, and He will put this treasure in our heart, and it becomes our yearning as God's child. And I think back in my life, I think when I was maybe in my late teens, I was praying that the world wouldn't end before I would get married. And then when I got married, I was praying it wouldn't end before I had a baby. But now, and I've had a good life, I say, come, Lord Jesus. And I look forward. The yearning that we get, I think, as we go through and we see this revealed to us year after year, thieves approaching, moths corrupting. All the things that are so appealing to this flesh, they turn out to be tinsel, plastic, worth something with no substance. But we find our substance here. And so the yearning goes just to be with God. And this vessel, which is corrupted in all its own ways, to be put away so that we can be in perfect communion with God. Shall we then close with a word of prayer? Dear Father in heaven, we thank you again this evening for blessing us with your word. We ask, Father, that you would so help us in our walk in this life. You see the times and the places that we live in. Help us that we can overcome, that we can especially be your servants. Give us those ears that we can hear that Holy Ghost guiding us, that still small voice. And give us that heart that we would ever want to serve you, and even look forward to that day when we can sit at your feet. Now may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.